listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. Now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
All right, well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We are biggest for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 7, entitled Say My Name. I'm your host, John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by Kevin Undergaro.
Hello, everyone.
And Kristen Snyder.
Hi, guys.
And manning the booth for us, as always, is our own Benjineer, Big Ben Bottomley.
Hello.
So, lots to talk about. We, of course, want to break down the whole thing as much as we can of today's episode. But first, I want to let you know that we will talk about catches of the week later on in the show. And, you know, first of all, I just got to go right to overall impressions because I'm still reeling. I'm still a little affected by this.
I'm speechless.
For those of you who don't know, we go up right after the show airs. So it's, you know, 10 minutes after the show is finished. So we're still reeling from what we just witnessed. And so we're still collecting our thoughts and our feelings about this. And I'm telling you, I thought that the train robbery with the kid, that one left me, and this thing's sitting just as hard for me, just as heavy. I was like, damn, what the?
I mean, I know, you know, the fans always just want us to dissect every moment of the episode, and we will, but just taking another step back as just a casual fan.
Right.
How the heck do you watch Sons of Anarchy? How do you watch these other shows now? It's just everything is a letdown. I'm trying with Hell on Wheels.
Right, exactly.
But if there were no Breaking Bad, I'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy as a clam watching these other shows.
It's almost like the veil's been pulled back, the curtain has been drawn. So now that you see a really good show, and you look at the other shows, which would be considered good, really good shows, now it's like.
This show is so addictive, and just the visual flair, the cliffhangers.
It's meth.
It's rare to see on television.
But also firing at, if on the scale of 1 to 10, everything's a 10. The acting's a 10, the cinematography's a 10, the writing's a 10, everything.
Yeah.
And so it's, Ben, what did you say when you were just going to speak to my point about watching these other shows?
Oh, no, I was saying I just started watching Hell on Wheels like a couple nights ago, and it's not like it's not entertaining, I'm not saying. It is entertaining. It's just not Breaking Bad.
It's not Breaking Bad. And again, if we didn't have Breaking Bad, we'd probably be fine.
Oh, yeah. I'd love it.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is it's ruined us for everything else.
It's ruined us. Oh, my God.
I agree with that.
I mean, you know, hopefully, like, it set the bar. I mean, it's great that it set the bar high enough. And then hopefully other artists will come forward. And but what we're getting is just these lame parodies that just kind of fall short. And I think that's great for the general public. But It's just, anyway, kudos to the show.
Yeah.
I feel like I just got off a roller coaster. Like, I'm literally kind of, like, shaky about it.
Yeah, I still am. Literally, I am a little bit, you know,
I just can't imagine this ending, but Vince is going to be really busy even after this ends, because who doesn't want to be on a project with him?
Yeah, no, he's not going to have to worry. But as we know, it's really almost impossible for lightning to strike twice. Notice that, you know, with American Dad, it's not quite Family Guy.
Right.
And every time we've stepped away, South Park guys have stepped away, and you know, those are just two animated guys.
But I wouldn't call those shows brilliant like I would with this show.
I would say, comedically speaking, they are.
World Police.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I love it. Yeah,
brilliant.
But I think, the fact that South Park is still going as strong as it is after all these years, but where The Simpsons hasn't been relevant in like 11 years. But what I'm saying, and that's just comedy, but you know, to speak to this, you know, I don't know. I mean, what other artists have like Vince, auteurs have been able to outdo themselves, or you know, after.
Well, the only thing right now that I think comes close in terms of everybody agreeing is Madman with Matthew Weiner.
Yes, but what has he done? That's what I'm saying about lightning strike.
Yeah, I know.
So I enjoy the ride. Here's the good news: the one ray of hope that we have is if they can work out their finances, if they can figure out that this thing can still make money.
Yeah.
The good news is that it is so. There's so much room. I mean, to go after you know these eight episodes, we have so much unfinished business with Germany and all these other things that. You could conceivably go another 16, which
would
mean another two seasons.
Watch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have to hope that, you know, maybe there's that ray of hope.
There's that ray of hope. But, you know, they also have said many times, Vince Gilligan, that he wants to go out on top. So we'll see.
You know, my advice, though, is to really think that through. I say that to athletes, too, that I've met. It's because look at The Sopranos now. Don't you think those guys wish... Don't you really think they wish?
I think they wish they would have done the finale different. I don't know if they wish they'd.
I think, but you'll see if there's a chance for them to come back and do a movie, they would. I just think in the moment, you're always like, you know what? Moving on. We did that.
Next thing. And they're living with it 24 hours a day.
And then you go back.
We live with it.
Right. And you look back in your career and you say,
I had more in the tank. I wish I had.
Right. Yeah. So, but anyway.
All right. Speaking of more in the tank, let's move on to our first. Deal was done.
I got a couple of great. Thank God for our fans.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you said, John, 10 minutes after the show, we're in here. We're excited. And we've got pages and pages of notes. And we're doing our best. We don't have the advantage the other shows do that will spend 2 or 3 days and then rob everyone's ideas off the internet and claim them as their own. And then, you know, come off as so much better than us. But we're blessed with such amazing fans who are doing the same thing as we are. They're watching from home and they come up with great ideas. And, you know, Steve the Steamer, who... you know, is like, I don't know if there's a show he doesn't watch.
Right.
But he also has such an intelligent take on all of them. And I just want to share some of his thoughts.
Go ahead.
He said when Walt was talking to Jesse in the new makeshift lab, he said something about them being in control. Walt loves being in control, but his desire to make money and stroke his own ego has led him to taking on a lot of variable risk. Mm-hmm. So we know there's this scientist in him that's all about the control. But as we'll talk about at the end of the episode, we see where his emotions can get in the way. He's working with a new distributor that he knows nothing about, and considering how strong he armed them, they can't really like the situation. He has a new assistant in the lab, and considering we saw what Todd was capable of, I don't think Walt will be able to be in, quote, control for him long. Walt was able to have that on Jesse since they had a prior student-teacher relationship. Todd will have no such loyalty. I still think he'll kill Jesse, though. After the opening scene to the season premiere, we wondered how Walt would get himself in that position. Seeing how he reacted after he shot Mike, and Mike initially drove off, it's understandable how it happens. His ego leads him to do something, but then the panic sets in. He wasn't Heisenberg there. He was the same bitch of a science teacher he was in the series premiere. And then, last but not least, Mike August, who always gives us our catches of the week. He's, you know, real bright. He said... Walt referencing the Yankees during the meeting with Declan. Interesting because Yankees play in the Empire State and Walt is in the Empire business. We also know the Yankees are the, you know, big giant force in baseball and in sports. God complex further established when Walt says, "You're goddamn right," when he has his meeting with Declan. Walt wants to boost production to 100 pounds of product a week with a new lab while Mike was wise to know it's time to get out. Walt says to Todd, apply yourself. That was the same thing that Walt said to Jesse at the start of the series. He also concurs with Steamer's point. Walt showed Todd how to make the unique meth. Bad move. He can't trust Todd, who followed in the path of a family of criminals and killed a kid with no emotion at all. Perhaps Todd is going to try to take out Walt when he learns how to make the product by himself, which explains the symbols of, quote, being shot in the back, end quote. That have been expressed in the season. And then Mike just sent this one in a little late, but another Whitman reference tonight. From the Clive James poem, Whitman and the Moth, Van Wyck Brooks tells us, Whitman in old age sat by a pond in nothing but his hat, crowding his final notebooks page by page with names of trees, birds, bugs, and things like that. And of course we know Mike dies at the pond.
Yes.
Anyway... So we'll talk about a lot of this as it goes on, but I just wanted to give those guys shouts out. And
thank you for that feedback.
Good job.
So speaking of Declan, let's talk about the deal. We had kind of postulated this from last week that the easiest thing to do would be to partner with Declan because he's already got distribution. That's what Walt needs. Of course, Walt sees that and says, yeah, of course I'm going to do that because that's the easiest way to get my product out there, easiest way to replace Mike, the whole thing. And that's indeed what he does. Offers him what it's a pretty damn good deal. And obviously they felt so too because they went for it. They didn't want to. I love the way they played it because, you know, I'm sure on some level he just wanted to shoot him. Declan just wanted to get rid of him.
Well, to only get 35% was, you know.
Yeah, but you don't have to do any cooking. All you got to do is distribute.
Right.
That's great.
Probably making out more.
Yeah, but my point is that I've already got all that figured out. There's no downside to that for me if I'm Declan because I've already got all the infrastructure to distribute. I don't have to take any of the risk to make it. Or the effort or anything. He's got all that. So it's like, okay, it's the best product out there. They're going to give it to me.
And who wouldn't want to live in a world without classic Coke?
Exactly.
That was the best discussion, yeah. Calling their product generic and his
Cola.
Coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting, the shots, too, the three-shot. Once again, we continue to see the three-shot there. It's the three from behind. You know, they're in the car together, Mike, Walt, and Jesse. But then
bald guys.
The three of them going off against in the desert against the five-shot of Declan's guys.
Yeah.
And just wonderful cinematography, as we all see. And then we see, you know, Walt in his nice blue shirt, which is representing his meth.
Yes.
If you guys were Declan, would you go in business with Walter White? Would you take the deal?
Hell yeah, because they've been chasing that stuff forever. Everybody wants that. Why wouldn't you want to have what everybody...
Because knowing Walt's character.
Well, they don't know his character. Well, they know, say my name.
Exactly. Like, well, they know they killed Frank.
He killed Frank. But, do you want to get involved with the guy who did that?
So the thing is, he's a real scary opponent and quite the foe. Yeah. And if you notice, the tone changed in the meeting, where all of a sudden they were like, "Whoa!" It went from "Who's this bitch chemistry teacher?" to
"I'm the cook."
Yeah, they were, you know, so respectful once he found out.
Yeah, and
that he was Heisenberg.
Yeah, well, and you're in that business anyway. So, the guy that goes up and takes out Gus Fring, would you not want to be in business with him? Because
well, you're not going to be the one on top anymore. Is all.
I would totally take it. It's like eliminating about 75% of the work, you still get 35%, and the product is 10 times better.
Why not make him your ally rather than your enemy?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, legendary. Like, they don't believe he's Heisenberg because it can't be true. Like, there's no way this guy's this figure in the drug world.
They've heard of him, obviously, because they knew his name. They knew his stuff. And here he is coming to you with a deal that's actually not a bad deal, if you ask me. I don't know. Maybe it is. I mean,
solid.
I don't think it's a good idea, though. I would take the deal, knowing his reputation, but in the end, I don't think it's going to work out as clean as
it never works out.
Exactly.
But it's all the immediacy. It'll work out for as long as it does, and it's going to make us money in the meantime.
I don't
think
anyone's going to make their money.
Oh, they're all going to make their money.
No. They'll make their money.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Some people are going to die.
Absolutely.
Everyone gets near Walt, they're going to die. Yeah. But no, they'll make their money.
Yeah.
Dying a bathtub of money.
Wasn't that nice, though? He gave a nice shout-out to Jesse,
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but, you know,
yeah, nice shout-out.
Yeah.
Manipulation.
We're the best guys. Yeah, exactly. You thought
exactly
what do you mean manipulation? I thought it was sincere. Clearly.
Oh, yeah. You're as good as me. You can have your own
kitchen
now.
But you know something? Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of manipulation going on, but I did feel there were some genuine moments. I did feel as though there were some genuine moments going on in the discussion between Jesse and Walt in the car wash.
Like, what?
I think there were,
he was just talking about the meth, and he just wasn't listening to Jesse at all, and he has not ever listened to
Jesse.
No,
he's not listening to him at all, of course, because he's obviously wants his end goal, but I do believe that he believes that it's a ridiculous move for Jesse to walk away in his brain.
Well,
because
he just doesn't want to be alone. He's like, you know,
he doesn't want to be alone. But you really think that he doesn't believe in the theory that if you can be the best at something, why wouldn't you be? And by the way, this is me with the person I live with every day. Why wouldn't you? You're the best host in this business, Maria Menounos. I say it all the time. Why wouldn't you want to keep going with this? Why would you just want to, like, you know, not take another job or not do extra, not do like what you see Ryan Seacrest doing? Like, why? So I totally fell for him there. Yes, it was a manipulation, but I feel he believes that.
Right. Yeah, I do too. Because I think it all goes back to him talking about squandering your potential. That's what he said last week. He said, talk about he gave up his potential for $5,000. And here he uses the same terms. Squander your potential. Why would you do it? He's not only talking to him, he's talking to himself from whatever it was, right, 20 years ago where he made that same mistake. That's what he's doing.
And by the way, that's what most of us do when we're offering advice or helping people. Right. It's based on our own insecurities. Yeah,
I think that from Jesse's perspective, though, I mean, what do you do when you see your hero turn into the villain? And I think he's recognizing that.
Absolutely. That's a whole different argument, of course.
Yeah.
But his look to Skyler, he's so spooked.
Yeah, he is.
He's so spooked.
Yeah, they both were trying to look at each other. This was my interpretation. Yeah. Looking to each other for a way out. Please help me. No, you help me. How can we get out of this? Can we get out of this together? Is there any way out?
There
How about you? Do
so
you know?
So much said in that exchange with no words.
It's like, geez, who are we with here? Yeah, I love the way it's shot.
And the way it's lit, it's the only thing that stands out is Walt's blue shirt, of course, the meth. We're watching it right now in studio.
Oh, well, the other thing I liked about it is when she's walking away and the light's there. I mean, we're talking all the bars and the razor wire and barbed wire we're seeing and everything. That just looked, there's so many grids and it just looked like trapped. They were trapped. They're trapped inside.
Everyone knows it but Walt, though. He's so delusional.
About what? That they're trying?
About all of it, yeah. He just doesn't see it. He doesn't see any boundaries.
Maybe it's delusional. He is just a man possessed. He's so driven.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like if anything that's... someone has an invention or, you know, you hear all the greats that they're eating it, they're sleeping it, they're breathing it, and they're not considering anything else.
Right.
All these guys. So, of course...
And it's been eating at him for 20 years.
Yeah. And, of course, his involved drugs and killing people and all that. But if you take that stuff away
and you
just bring it down to the fact that he's got this pure recipe that he created.
That he's so proud of. 99.1%. Right. I mean, nobody else does that.
Can I just bring up something quickly? Do you guys remember when he was writing on that notepad in the beginning before he killed Crazy 8? He was writing down the cons. Murder is wrong. Yeah. Pro, he'll kill your entire family.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to sleep with yourself. Yeah, right.
Do you remember that? Like, those were the days. Like, what happened?
When he did a pro and con.
Yeah,
the
pro and
the
con.
The moral
killing
is.
Yeah. This one
doesn't
little
guy.
Doesn't
seem to have that problem anymore.
No, yeah. don't think so.
He's taking all the steps, but he said, because you know what? We're going to hell. But I'm not going lying down. And by the way, I don't want to go lying down either.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you guys think that it's the decisions that have led him where he is? Like, each decision has changed him? A little bit more.
That's the natural course of an arc. But it's not only that; it's his rationalizations that have allowed him to make those decisions.
You know, we got another great fan mail that I'm going to read in our special segment. Okay. And I shared it with you before we watched the show, and I'll read it to everybody. But this guy had such great insight on Walter White, and it was in response to all the Walter White hatred that's out there, and how painting him as the devil and Skyler as like a good wife, and
he's in support of Kevin and I. So
yes,
we like him.
We like him.
So that's why.
But he had a very sound argument. Right. Now again, purely as just a fan who's having fun watching this show, I was just so excited until the end. I was not thrilled with that, but I was so excited finally when Say My Name, when he has this huge group, this big syndicate across from him, and they're like, Heisenberg.
Yes.
I was thrilled for him.
But this is also, that's that escalation of his hubris.
Yes.
He's just so wants everybody to know he's the man, and that's going to be his undoing.
It's going to be his undoing. Why do you have to keep saying that?
Because it is. I mean, that's a natural course of things, which is great.
Yeah, but wait. But why?
Get great conflict.
It's not Trump's undoing. Think of all the other people with hubris. Why does he have to get undone? Why can't he end up like on an island?
Because why can't he undo
margaritas?
Everyone else?
It's because of himself.
Because then it's not a tragedy.
He can't stand. He can't like walk outside here and look at what's going on. That's the problem. He can't separate himself from what.
I know, and
happening.
I'm saying most people that are obsessed with something can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you know, I'm a filmmaker, and a lot of times as a director, you have to make those tough decisions, and all you're thinking about is the shot, or all you're thinking about is the film, and you're not thinking about the fact that, you know, someone has to bawl their eyes out in the scene, and you know, if they're doing a sad scene, I'm serious, you know, and you get so. But you know why a lot of directors you meet are kind of assholes, you know. But that's why, because they're thinking of that one thing. So, and we of course enjoy the art. You, I know, would enjoy the meth. Not saying you do, but I'm saying you would love it. But I'm saying, you know, we get to enjoy the fruits of the labor. But no, but I can see where somebody's just so obsessed.
And I would not enjoy
that. And you wonder how much with Vince Gilligan, his obsession with his own writing and his own creations, how much that comes out in the character of Walter White. You wonder.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything on that. I've heard him just talk about... actually, he usually gives a lot of the credit to the, his writing
crew.
We'll
sick Marie on him next time.
Yeah, see if we can do about that. Let's talk a little bit further about the Jesse Walt scene where Jesse says he wants his money. Jesse's Walt's not going to give him any of it. And he finds, and Jesse, of course, walks away from all of it.
It's amazing. And you know, and what I found so realistic is the fact that, you know, try getting... when you're dealing with a mobster and a gangster, try getting your money from them.
Yeah, forget it.
Never do.
Yeah.
Never, you know, ever.
I can't speak to it, but it reminded me of something I've heard before.
Yeah, oh yeah. You never get your money
the whole time
out of
I'm just...
Never.
Yeah.
And so very realistic, but how about Jesse just being great?
Standing up. Yeah.
Jesse saying, you know what? Okay.
That took some cojones.
Did you guys notice the back of his jacket, the cross with the circle in it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he did. And as the season progresses, I've been noticing more and more like Christian symbols. Jesse's jacket.
Okay.
Had a cross on the back. It was like threading and a circle in it. And that means the circle inside the cross, or the cross inside the circle, it means that God is a circle whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. So
in other words, there's no hiding from, you know, someone's watching this, or there's some higher power.
Right. And even...
and he could be the
Walt
one...
Even Walt says, you know, if you believe in hell or that kind of thing, we're already going there.
So, you know, it's you wonder if Jesse is, you know, going to be martyred, you know, in some way, hoping not.
If anyone does it, I feel like Todd will...
Well, yeah, we've mentioned that last week. Speaking of Todd, then, how about the way he took Jesse's place? That was really interesting.
I was so excited for Todd. I was excited for Walt. I was like, what a model employee. He's a man. He didn't want the money. He wanted to prove himself.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. You know, they take the break. And usually when they take the break, that's when Walt and Jesse have a little moment. They talk whatever they're talking about.
He's watching a broom commercial.
Yeah, again, another horrible TV thing that they're watching, right, Ben?
I think that was the ShamWow guy.
It was the ShamWow guy.
All in blue. The perfect.
But what I liked is usually that's when Walt and Jesse would have this little bonding time. But not this time, because Todd is, you know, he's
flash
checking out
cards.
The notes. He's looking at, you know, looking
no,
at.
No, he's working.
Yeah, he's working. But I go, that's not a good sign, if you ask me. I'll tell you what, because he's given up his cook again.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Right. Well, he's mad and he wants to, you know, continue
but
on.
Why would you give up the one thing that makes you the best?
Just arrogance, I think.
Crazy.
Hubris.
Just another thing, because you know
someone who's a natural,
especially to a guy
killer.
That you don't, that has you haven't really vetted this guy. I mean, you vetted him to the degree that you brought him on a heist, but to bring him into that, I mean, I know he's desperate.
Mike semi vetted him. Remember?
Well, no, that part, yeah. But what I mean is, now he's in your circle,
he's
your inner circle. Where before it was the three of them. Remember, they put Todd on the outside. Why don't you go outside? We're gonna talk.
Right.
Now he's on the inside, and he's showing him his cook.
You gotta trust people. John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Do you think he really
trusts him, or do you think he's just because he's desperate, he doesn't have anybody just to help him?
I think he's partly desperate, and I think also you get such an arrogance where, again, another mob thing, right?
Yeah.
Back east, right? Guys that I work for?
Yeah.
Be like, okay, here's the key to my, like, meeting once, here's the key to my a bakery, right? It was a bakery.
You're not going to go against me, because if
come
you
come in anytime you want. I was like, what the? I'm like, I don't even know this guy. And there's, like, you know, all the money's in there, the safe, all the expensive machinery, whatever. And, you know, as I got to know them better, and, you know, like, years later, whatever, down one of the feasts, you know, you have, like, your vodka lemonades. And then I'm like, geez, that was always... kind of weird, like, okay, I'm a college kid, so you knew you could trust me, because you gave it up so fast. He's like, no, I just would kill you if you ever
exactly.
You'd just be dead, so like, I'm not afraid of you. And I was like,
oh whoops.
So it's almost that, like, go ahead and steal,
because
you're just gonna chop your hands off. So I think it speaks to his arrogance and his hubris.
That's right.
And let me throw this out. Yes, Todd's a loose cannon, but I feel like Todd wants to, again, another old mob thing, right?
Right.
They always target the guys who don't have deep family connections or that want approval badly.
Right.
There's guys that will just go to jail for 20 years just to know they're in.
Yeah.
That they're in the family, that they're taken care of. I'm probably the only one telling you, like, Todd's going to make his share of mistakes, like killing the kid or whatever.
Right.
I'm not so sure he's going to he may really look up to this guy.
No, I think he does.
And he may not be the, he may make mistakes to to screw Walter, but I don't know if he's going to. It'd be interesting if we didn't go that way, because everyone's expecting him to go down that road.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Right now, they're really painting him as a guy that just wants to earn his bones, you know, do right by them.
Oh, I want him to come work at AfterBuzz.
Exactly.
He's amazing. But he'd be great here.
But again, he kept the spider.
See, Ben, you know, wouldn't he be great at AfterBuzz?
But he also kept that spider. It was just a weird thing.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I think that Todd's bringing a brand new element to Breaking Bad that we haven't seen in any of the characters before. He is this weird, natural element of evil, just pure evil.
What, we haven't seen that before?
I mean, but he's like this weird creep type. I mean, who else reminds you of him?
Gus.
Well, weird. Gus.
I think you're right. You see the darkness?
Freaky. Yeah, Gus
in
is freaky.
Todd? Wait, we're talking over each other. Tell me why Gus is freaky.
The idea that the way that box cutter scene.
Yeah.
Coming just down that whole thing and just slitting his, that weird, freaky shit.
Okay, can I counter?
Of course.
Yeah, go for it.
He knew exactly what he was doing. He was making a statement. He was very controlled. He was, goes back to what Walter said to him, you and I are a lot alike.
Right.
So I feel, whereas this kid is, he's off in the head. It's not business and power for him. I think it's like acceptance, and I think he is definitely weird. And probably that weirdness has made it so he's never been accepted. And the fact that now, like, that's the kind of guy that, like, Walt is maybe... puts his arm around him, pats him on the back a little bit, and he's going to run through a brick wall for you. So I agree with you. I think he's definitely spookier.
I don't disagree that there may be a different reason for his
I think Gus is the type that was like, this is exactly what I need to do to get what I need in this moment. I need to slice this guy's throat in front of these guys. I need to make an example. Whereas he's not picking up the spider and saying, I need to pick this spider up to show this, that he's looking at that spider.
You're also,
like,
you're also talking about somebody who's 25 years his senior, so I don't know what Gus was like at Todd's age.
Right, but
for all I know.
Well, we know is we saw him at that meeting with his boyfriend and partner, and they were making a business deal. I mean, I just I don't know.
The other aspect is he's not in it for the money. Clearly, he says in this scene.
What, Todd?
Exactly.
But I think that's just what he says because he's in it for the money. There's no way. I mean,
he needs a job.
I think.
Because he needs the money.
Yeah, but guys, we'll find out what. Just be open to the fact that it might be he wants acceptance. He wants to be part.
I don't disagree with that.
He wants to be part of something.
I think that's absolutely part of it. But clearly, the reason why he's working the gig is because he wants money.
No, he may want to be part of something. John, as I said, there's a lot of
Yeah, but you
guys
can get that anywhere. But I also think that this is the opportunity in front of him. To suggest that he isn't doing this because he wants the money, I think is crazy. I think the money is a big part of it.
Honestly, I think people get off on really weird things, and I think just being in this business is why he's in it.
I think...
What? I have no idea what that
means. Certain things, people really, you know, have weird, creepy desires, and I feel like being involved in this business, killing people, I feel like this is what makes him happy. The spider, like... This is what makes him happy.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I think the money's part of it, but I do think it's wanting to do bad things and be part... And be accepted by... I don't know. It's just I was around it for 10 years, and I saw lots of kids who'd be like, oh, let me get that for you. Let me help you with this. Let me help you with that, to the mobsters. And it was like, and not a lot of them made any money, but it was just like they wanted to be in. They wanted to wear the nice clothes. They wanted to... Just strange, you know, and that's like the lesson that I learned as I got out. I was like, and they knew it too. They're aware. They're like, no, a lot of these guys just want to be accepted. They want to be part of something bigger.
Wow.
So, listen, we're gonna find out.
But
everyone thinks it's for Todd. It seems like the fans are thinking it is about the money and that he is gonna turn and do what I'm. Not so sure. I'm hoping that Vince goes a different way because that's the way that's what we'd expect.
What I'm saying is I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I don't think that he's doing it for one or the other. I think the lifestyle that you were talking about, that he wants to be part of something bigger, I think that's all tied in with the whole, just like the watch and they want the clothes, they want the lifestyle. I think that's all.
But the fact that he was staring at that spider in the jaw, she's right, John, that just doesn't seem like
I think that's creepy too. the fact that you guys don't think Gus Fring is creepy, that makes me go, well, that makes me think you guys are a little weird.
You guys are a little weird. Gus Fring was, it's a different kind of creepy, but Gus Fring
was scary. He was smart.
And scary. Scary.
So you didn't think he was creepy at all?
No, I thought he was smart.
And I thought scary.
In every decision he made. Todd, strictly creepy.
Yeah.
Not smart. Does what he does because he likes it.
Well, again, I think Gus is smart. intelligent, all that kind of thing. I still think he's creepy.
I feel like a Gus. If
all right, well, we get exhausted this topic.
We have.
Well, I think it was it for Gus. It was wherever he was going to make his money, and this was the way he was going to make his money. But anyway, like you said, we've exhausted. But you know what, John? No, one more thing.
Sure.
Another phenomenal cook montage.
Yeah.
Cook montage.
Right now, there's no tomorrow. The high fives, like, they have the best cook montages.
They do.
And why
and by,
was yeah, this one really special to us?
Well, I will let you as the filmmaker discuss that.
Okay, so the song is called Going Down.
Yes.
It was a Monkees B-side, and it was sung by Mickey
Dolenz. By the group The Monkees, and it was done in the late 60s or early 70s. I can't remember.
And a B-side, so it wasn't a popular song.
Right.
Well, I...
heard it.
Have
all remembered it.
Well, you know, our movie Serial Buddies is hopefully going to be out in the fall.
Yeah.
And we have a montage scene where we use the exact same song.
Yes.
And I was always proud that we were able to blow the dust off it and find it before anyone else.
Yeah.
And now I see that, you know, Vince has, and I see that as a great thing. And I'm like just so excited. It's a great tune, but the fact that probably the greatest, like currently the greatest writer and like auteur in the business used it.
Yeah.
And that we used it too.
Very effectively, by the way.
It was amazing. But it makes me feel, at a personal level, it makes me feel very good. It's my Walter White moment.
Exactly.
Oh, it's my Walter White moment. Yeah, I'm ready to I'm ready to go shoot somebody now. So, yeah. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to talking about Hank.
I am the danger.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on. Speaking of danger, the danger is coming close because Hank's doggedness has come into play into this particular episode. I love the board scene. Well, whatever you call it, I call it a boardroom scene, but it was like the scene that you would have in a boardroom of a company, but instead it was at the DEA office where his boss is giving the lowdown on
the yellow tie, the blue blazer, and you notice there was no the boardroom. Hank had no color at all.
No. He's still in that sand, earth tone, all that kind of stuff going on. And not paying attention at all to the... And I think we've talked about this many times, how he's not going to be good sitting behind a desk because that's just not where he... That's not where he lives and breathes. That's not who he is.
And by the way, like, similar... It's the way he's obsessed with the case. It's similar to Walt's obsession.
Right. Exactly. Which is... And it needs to be in order to catch him, if he's going to. That obsession. And we got to see how, even though he gets a dressing down by his boss, even though he gets funding cut from him, he still finds a way. Just like Walt always seemed to find a way.
I was so excited. The surveillance budget was cut. I'm like, we're home free. Can we just start making some real money?
Not yet.
No.
Oh.
Always, and then I thought it was great that they decided to follow the lawyer because you always follow the money. Always follow the money.
That's a good point.
So. That's how you can undo things. And speaking of lawyer, how fun were those two particular scenes when he goes into the bank and has his little
I love this.
Bacon banana cookies with
the cake pops.
I love that cake pops visit.
You like the cake pops?
Oh, yeah. I just love he walks in and I'm like, something's wrong.
Yeah, well, because she was great.
Oh, yeah. And then I just love that shot when he turns around and Gomez is just standing there smiling.
The smile from Gomez is amazing.
I got you.
Well, you know, multi-layered.
Yes.
So we got bacon bits, which is the pigs, which is the cops, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is also...
Also speaking back to the bacon of Walt.
Right. And speaking of the bacon of Walt, right? And then the fact that they're being gluttons. Yep. You know, she's talking about the husband wants a boat. Mm-hmm. She's obviously had a few...
She hasn't turned away a few meals.
She's been overserved. And, you know, Mike talks about slow and steady.
Uh-huh.
You know, giving the money out slow and steady, not all at once.
Which is, again, going back to the chickens. There's enough for everybody.
Right.
And, you know, doing all that stuff. Not the hungry, hungry hippo of Walt, who wants it all now.
Who's being a pig.
He's being a pig.
Did you guys see the other cake pops, though?
Which there were a couple of pig faces on there.
Yes,
there
exactly.
were also a cowboy and bald ones. Bald cake pops.
Wow.
Bald
which
guys.
Is, of course, exactly what's going on.
But is Hank the cowboy?
Well, he thinks that he is.
Yeah, I'd say he's
it is
cowboy.
A Western. We have a lot of Western shots, especially the showdown with
Declan.
There
was a bear.
So.
And, you know, the yeah, we, Oh, bear, interesting. Could be Russians, I don't know.
I loved how, you know, she, you know, no question, she's just opening all these safety deposit boxes, and I, you know, I know you're not really supposed to talk about, you know.
She's not sharing the cookies with anybody.
Yeah, not sharing the cookies, yeah. You know. But open all these boxes. Never a question about what this is all, because that's an unusual thing to have all these safety, usually there's one safety deposit
right.
box open and one, she's opening, you know, whatever, eight or nine, well, obviously at least nine, probably ten, because one's for Mike.
And the jazz music's playing, and then did you see the shots just got more interesting?
Yeah, all the quick cuts and the, all that money going in there. And I love, hey, congratulations, Kaylee, although she's, it's all been taken away, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no,
18th birthday.
Yeah, it's gone.
That would have been one hell of a birthday party.
Probably that best that it's Kaylee. Taken away.
Why?
Because.
She was too young to get it.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said it should have been 21st at best. You know, you can't trust these youngins.
She'd get rid of the money by 25 and then have no skills to get a real job. I don't think it's good having that money.
What about, you know, the other thing to, she's talking, you know, her name is Dorothy Yobbs. She's talking about boats and the husband wanting to buy a boat, blah, blah. And it's Cradlock Marine Bank.
Right.
So Marine Bank, and I was trying to figure out what all the association was with boats and marine.
I don't know, something about freedom.
Obviously the color blue, maybe.
Maybe.
At the end, we end up at a lake.
At the pond or the lake.
Pond, yeah.
Near water.
Yeah. That's where I went with it, was out on the open water. That's where I went with it. But I have no idea exactly what it was. I'm sure our
Well, we also know he's not as good an attorney as Saul.
No. In fact, Saul is jealous and pissed off.
Oh, wow.
And goes right into it during this crisis moment.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
Goes right into it. And what does he say? Mo, Larry, and Shemp.
And Shemp, not Mo, Larry, Curly.
No, Mo, Larry, Shemp.
So it was because they're Mo, Larry, Curly.
Yeah.
That's what I took it
okay.
as.
Okay, yeah, but it was just another Three Stooges reference.
Right, and took the second string of the Three Stooges.
Yeah, exactly.
You
wasn't
know,
even
Mo,
the
Larry, Shemp. That's, you know, we've had Mo, Larry, Curly references here before.
Well, do you think he was referring to Shemp because he thinks that the other lawyer was
Shemp? Yes.
Okay. It's Dan Waxburr. And do you guys think that Mike, because of his age and how old he is, like, he trusted this guy? He was, like, using that guy maybe all his life? Or do you think his age at all came into why he used this guy?
Whose age?
Mike. Because clearly he was using this lawyer who was, like, was not a good guy to use, was a total goof. And I just feel like maybe it's because of Mike's age that came into play.
Why was he a total goof?
His lawyer?
Yeah.
Well, even Saul was calling out the Dan Waxburr and saying, why would he use that guy?
Well, but most
that's
of that
Saul.
I took. Yeah, it's just Saul's jealousy coming into play.
Saul is a goof.
I don't think he was a top-notch lawyer, but to do what he needed to do, you're not really going to get a top-notch lawyer.
Right. We should have used Saul.
Well, obviously he had his own reasons for not using Saul. Maybe it was because he was too linked with Walt
Everybody
and Jesse.
Else.
That's my guess.
Probably, yeah.
He needed somebody that was step away from that.
Right.
Yeah, but Saul said I would have hooked him up with somebody else.
He would have, but he also
could
have.
But then he still would have known.
He could have given those nine names up to to Walter. So, guys, you know, this is, I'm sorry to backtrack, but help me with Antoine Lavoisier.
Anton, actually. It's
Antoine.
It is Antoine?
It is Antoine.
I beg your pardon.
Antoine Lavoisier, he was a French nobleman around in 1700s. He's known as the father of modern chemistry. He named oxygen and hydrogen, helped create the metric system, and put together the first list of elements.
Right.
Nice.
So you don't have to be that. So he doesn't. He's not asking him.
Be the father of modern chemistry.
Exactly. I just need to apply yourself, which is somebody else made the reference that's what he said to Jesse earlier.
There was also lots of references to doubling, double down. You know, and we're gonna cook twice as much. Right, and then obviously lots of two shots. You know, at the ending.
This has been my question for a long time. We've talked about it, not in any great depth, though. Why does he need a partner? Why does he need the Jesse role fill? Because he doesn't need somebody else to help him cook.
Probably saves time.
He may save time, but you know, it's not that. You know, I don't think he does it because he saves time. He seems to really want somebody there. He seems to like that person under his wing. He seems to like to bring them along. I'm just wondering what that's about.
I think he's all about the adulation, the applause, right, that he didn't get.
So at least somebody I'm working with knows what I can do.
I think you need a partner in crime, like an audience member, somebody there that can kind of acknowledge it. And you know what else, John? You want to share the glory, and he's not sharing it with wifey poo.
Right.
I mean, go back to the beginning of the season where he pulls off this big thing. He takes down one of those powerful men. Nothing. No. Like, she's just nagging him about whatever. So that's what I think it is. It's a good point. It's a good point on your part that it's definitely not about just having two extra hands. It's about...
Yeah, it's not about that, because I think that's why he feels so betrayed that Jesse wants to leave.
Yes.
Because there's no one else to share this with him.
There's no one to share it with, and I also think that they have a bit of a father. They're weird, clearly, father-son.
Yeah, they do.
Exactly. And that's what you'd say to a son that had talent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many times have you guys heard stories of, like, kids that were athletes? Oh, yeah. I want to quit because I want to get married or be with my girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to
yeah.
quit? What? You're the best. You know, I was watching last night Todd Marinovich's, if you guys don't know, RoboQB, the father raised him to be a pro.
Yeah, quarterback.
And the kid, you know, just
didn't want it.
Just didn't want it. And, it, you know, and the father was like, what do you mean? You have this opportunity. And
but didn't want it.
Yeah. So that's.
But it never works out if you don't want it.
No, if you don't want it. Nope.
All right. Well, listen, first of all, we want to tell everybody thank you for sending in your comments and your rating us on iTunes. That really helps us, and we appreciate that so much, especially those who are giving us comments on the shows and our catches. But for us here, we really want you to take a moment if you can. Go to iTunes, rate and comment on us. Tell a friend. That's what allows us to keep bringing free content in these shows and keeps the lights on. And we just want to say thank you for everybody who's doing that. So.
Any new people, Kristen?
Yeah, we have Tom Gilpin, Watchtower Base, For Jonah, Noel Angelina, Steve Grant, Monty 992, Bo Blood, and Chris White says the only reason he doesn't cry after Breaking Bad is over is because he knows this podcast is coming on afterwards.
Right.
Well, I'm glad he doesn't cry. I still am. Especially when...
That's why we're on 10 minutes after it airs, because we all need to go cry in the bathroom. And then we can get on.
All right, let's talk about Mike now, and because this leads to our big ending, of course. He's so smart and just, you know, professional with his, you know, I don't even know where to start, but the part I wanted to jump in on is I loved him, especially when he's out alone in the desert or wherever it was, and he's listening on his laptop. And he realizes that's it, they're coming for me. So he dumps everything in the big well.
What a great shot.
Yeah, great shot, of course. And then, you know, just to have the, you know, again, he's been in this business for so long. He has such forethought and foresight to have a well to dump all this stuff in. I mean, right. When did he have that? Who knows when he put that together?
I just love the sheer amount of pistols.
Yeah, I know. That's the other thing.
It's like two shotguns and an assault rifle, and then just like a raining pistol.
And you wonder what the stories are behind those guns. I mean, that could be a web series in itself, right?
Do you think there's a correlation between, and this may be reaching, but all those pistols and Saul with the drawer full of cell phones? Is that his weapon?
They both have their weapons,
exactly. Yeah. The same kind of reason.
Yeah.
You can't use the same thing twice.
Burners.
I felt tonight. Tonight he was more of an old man.
I think that's what they were doing. I think they were really showing the weight of it. I think they're really showing the stress of it all is he's finally is like, you know, this is, it's not a young man's game. I mean, it's not an old man's game. It's
you know what?
Game,
when the cops barged into his place with the search warrant and he was watching that old movie, in the old movie, it was about a cop who killed himself. And that took me to the place that...
You know what movie that was, by the way? I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
Let me try to look.
All right, go ahead.
That just took me to the place that I thought maybe he was going to kill himself because he was an old cop.
Well, I thought it was really interesting, too, that last week when he had Walt... in the office of the pest control place before he went to go meet with Saul at the DEA to do the TRO. As he was getting up, he's like, oh, Walt! And he's kind of strains to get up, and you saw the weight of it and the age of him and all that. And he's really, as I assume it's in the writing, but he as an actor has certainly picked his moments to show that age and that wearing on him.
On a side note, you know, for you guys out there that have dreams or you're an actor or a writer or trying to be in this business or anything that you feel is a long shot, that actor has not been, I mean, what I remember him from is the original Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
We're talking, what, maybe 20 plus,
25,
25 years ago.
Yeah.
And who would have, I'm sure he didn't think.
Right.
But I certainly didn't, you know, think that 25 years later he would be turning in, you know, one of the most amazing and memorable performances on TV.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's really very cool.
Very storied career. I mean, you've seen him in dozens of things, and he's always done a great job.
I agree with Kristen, though, what she said. I thought they were alluding to Mike killing himself.
Uh-huh.
I just, when he saw the cops everywhere, I thought, yeah. oh no, he's like,
maybe it was going, but maybe it was going through.
I thought the same thing when he was behind the tree there and they showed his face.
And when they saw the revolver in the bag, for whatever reason, I didn't even think about Walt doing it. I thought Mike was going to use that on himself.
I thought I'll say it at the end what I thought.
Well, I thought that until obviously he made the call. But for a second, I thought, man, but then I go, no way. He's not going to kill himself right with his granddaughter there.
Yeah,
it's just not something he would do.
Mm-mm. Right. I wonder how he got out of there, though. I mean, I really want to know
good.
That.
He slipped how many different tails?
Yep.
Right. He slipped all its tails. So.
And, you know, they do such a good job writing this show. I'll give them that break.
Yeah.
If that seemed a little unrealistic, they can have that.
Oh, no. I mean, we see him slip again right out from Walter as well.
But he's watching the movie, whatever that means. I really was as that movie was happening.
Still trying to
find
it.
What the hell? I know that was saying something, but I have no idea what that movie was. I didn't catch the reference when the cops were seeing everything. Well, you know, the only thing that felt weird to me, and this is moving on to Walt, but that one, you know, when he's with Hank and he's doing his crying game, and he's trying to get Hank out of the office and finally does. That moment with Gomi outside the office and Hank's talking to him and that Walt gets to hear all that. I was like, that to me was a little too easy. And I thought that sent me somewhere because I thought for sure they were setting something up. Like, because normally they don't do something like that where you overhear something that.
In other words, you think there's a little weak writing?
Yeah, it just seems like they're usually much better at that. That was the only thing I was like... It's like, wow, that's weird. It felt like out of place how they would normally do it.
Right.
And that was the one moment.
To Kristen's point about cops being stupid.
Yeah.
We were talking off the air about.
Before we were talking. Yep. On my way home, I'll probably get a ticket though. So.
Well, I agree that they we were talking about how Hollywood makes these super cops, how smart they are, and my brother's a policeman, so I grew up with many.
Yeah.
No, hell no.
Yeah,
he would tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
Believe me, my brother would tell you the same thing. And growing up with them for years, a lot of them, it was.
But
about everything but bust making the big bust.
And I'm sure we'll have other people that feel differently, of course. But I thought it would have been more interesting because if they had said had the conversation right in front of Walt, I would have believed it more because they discount him. He's, of course, he's no worry to us. He's certainly not anybody we're involved in or looking for or anything like that. So it's almost like he's, to them, he's still that guy in that Pontiac with the Fern Green thing. That would have been more interesting.
I think you kind of have to at least make it a little, you got to make a little space. For me, just being around it, I buy it. I've seen it because I've been there. I've been Walt around them.
Yeah.
And they go and they talk a little bit in code. But enough where I can understand them. But
here's
enough
the thing,
where they're making a feeble attempt
to do what? I mean, what skinny is that to them?
You're just not supposed to.
Oh,
The reason I
liked it is because that's something they might have done in front of Gus. Because remember, they went over to Gus's house. They hit,
right.
You know, that's why he was so close to them, and that would have made me feel like, wow, he is really becoming.
I just like the look from Gomi, just being like, "You got a minute?" And and then they high five outside. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's. I don't know. I was.
So it works for one of us.
I was fine with it, you know. But I was excited Walt got the bug out. Unfortunately, he was getting this.
I thought the bug was already going to be found. I thought that would have been more interesting as well. That he went to go there and the bug's and it's already gone. Because then it's like he's going to be freaking out. Oh, crap. Who's got it? And then I thought that would have been really interesting to have that bug.
Maybe,
been
but
found
I don't
out.
Care to see the end of that story.
Why? Because then you don't know if who they're going to pin it on. Are they going to think that Walt did it? Are they going to pin it on Mike?
I was just happy that it wasn't. That they didn't find it because it hopefully will extend. The minute that Walt, I feel, the minute that Hank thinks this is Walt as an inkling, we accelerate to the end.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
I don't want it.
It would have been great for them to find a different route.
I'm the one holding out for another 16 episodes.
Of course.
When Hank was studying those pictures, I was like waiting for Walter to be in the back of one of those pictures where Hank was studying the pictures of Mike.
Of Mike, right. The surveillance pictures.
Like, yes.
By the way, before we go on to the moment we all want to talk about, which of course is Mike's demise,
Oh, spoiler alert! You forgot to say that.
What about? Well, not a spoiler.
I'm kidding.
People already saw it.
I'm kidding.
But the nice romantic dinner between
Skylar lovely
and Walt.
So, yeah, it was sweet.
You just hear, I mean, again, great sound design. You hear the ding of the microwave.
Best dinner.
Yeah.
Apart from the one with Jesse, of course. But.
And then the ripping of the cellophane off the microwave dinner was nice.
I just love how he starts talking about it. Like, it's just another day at Thor.
Just more
I'm
small
working
talk.
With a new guy, I know.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter that we're cooking.
And her, is always with the just big glass of wine.
Yeah.
Just walks away.
Huh. Okay.
I'm not a Skylar fan.
I don't know. I mean, the knowledge of Walt, what Walt's doing has always brought nothing but misery to Skylar. But yet, when she was in the car wash, she was asking him what was going on. He's like, do you really want to know? So then, like, she gets up at the dinner table and leaves. So it's like she wanted to know. He tries to tell her little bits, and then she runs away and drowns in her wine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like,
what do we say about that?
Sorry.
Why?
Because names be trouble.
There you go.
Yeah. Or as Popeye used to say, women is fickle.
That's it.
Anyhow, can we please talk?
All right, go.
So,
wait in.
When Mike is there skipping stones, I'm just like, oh, just an old man. It's just, it's time to go.
That's what you were thinking then?
Yeah, I knew.
Well,
I knew.
The go bag at the airport.
The go bag, yeah.
Again, great stuff. The
I
go
mean,
bag.
I was like, oh, that's nice of Walt not to let Jesse go and get it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Walt has other plans.
Yeah,
of course.
He needed to get the info. And he didn't get his apology. He didn't get his thank you.
Oh, that was the other thing. Yeah, all this whole thing. Again, he just feels like so everybody's so ungrateful. Skylar's ungrateful. She never said thank you. Never appreciated the fact that he saved the family. You know,
and
Jesse, I'm going to make you $100 million and you don't appreciate it either. And Mike, of course, has never said thank you for any of this.
If I could have added one line to this script,
whenever
let's they were
Vince.
Down, let's call Vince, see if we can get a rerun. When they were down at the pond and Mike was just sitting there before he said anything and Walter was just going through before he said shut up, if he would have just said thank you then, I wanted that. Because after he shot him...
You wanted Mike to say thank you?
Wanted Mike to say thank you because I felt like Mike was going to kill himself. So at that point, I wanted him to thank Walt.
Well, I don't understand. You wanted Mike to thank... After he got shot...
Yes.
Why would he thank him?
I don't know. Let's just end that right there.
No, I wanted him to thank
but
him.
But why? For what?
For killing him because I thought he was going to kill himself. And now he doesn't have to do it. And he sits by a pond and he dies peacefully.
But I don't think he was going to.
But he was never going to kill himself.
I thought he was going to kill himself. But
he clearly
Mike wasn't
because he's trying to get away. That's why he wants the go bag.
I thought that go bag was a suicide bag, in my opinion. I didn't see it like that.
No, and he could kill
he could have killed himself so many times.
He could have jumped off a building or
just,
something.
He was armed when he before he got the bag.
He
could have done it.
He was armed because he had a gun with him when Walt went to get him.
In my mind, I think this is the best way Mike could have went. That's all I'm saying. By a pond, that's a really peaceful
death.
I feel like that's
the best way. Before we get to his actual death, we really need to break down more the one-on-one with the two of them.
Right.
And you have to remember that Walter's taken a lot of shit from Mike in the last couple of years. Now, it doesn't mean that Walter didn't deserve it or whatever, but the only one that other than Gus, that's made him into a bitch is Mike, and Mike continues to, make him into a bitch. Even the way he took the bag away from him.
Right.
And it speaks to the point that Steamer made, is when he takes that bag away, it was like, oh, wow, that is the bitch chemistry teacher. He literally just looked him in the eye and said, okay, I'm not going to play this game with you.
Yeah.
I know you're not Jesse James. Just because you shoot Jesse James doesn't make you Jesse James.
Right.
I'm taking the bag off you, bitch.
Right.
And to see him reduced in that moment, the buttons are being pushed, and how many times did he turn his back that I think he was going to get shot in the back based on everything we've heard? And it doesn't happen. But then he wants his thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that all he wants is this acknowledgement,
right?
That he hasn't gotten the credit, he hasn't gotten the acknowledgement, and no one's grateful for all the stuff that he's doing. He also, it's the fact that he's been so disrespected. So out comes the emotion. Mm-hmm. He marches in that wide shot, he marches into frame and pops a cap on him, and then you see he's not Heisenberg after he shoots him. He goes back into that kind of squirrely, that squirrely, chemistry teacher.
His emotions,
And it's interesting because last week when Mike had the gun pointed in his face.
Yeah.
I thought it was such a juxtaposition from the last time there was a gun on him.
Right.
When the season before, there was a gun on Walter, and he cringed like a such a bitch.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, no, please, please. And, you know, even right. Cranston's such a great actor. But even the way his hands got and his legs got.
And then there was the time with Jesse had the gun on him.
Yeah.
And then he got better, and he said, kill me. He had more emotion, right?
Put it right up.
I was just talking about what Mike did to him.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right, with Jesse, but he still was showing emotion.
I know, but I like that they're...
He's growing. And then last week was, he's got the gun on him, and he's just looking him right in the eye, and he's not, he just doesn't even care. He's fearless. Right. You know, cancer's going to kill me anyway. I'm screwed. I've lost my wife. I've lost my family. And so it was interesting to take yet another step in his character. To see him become a chemistry teacher at this.
I can't remember what did, because it, in my mind, it was he shot him and then he drove, and I was wondering, was he panicking because he started driving away?
Maybe, but the panic kind of continues.
Yeah, that's the part I can't remember.
Well, you know, it'll be up on the screen momentarily.
Yeah.
I wanted to say when Walt's filled with rage and he has a lot of deep frustrations, you can see his crazy eye go, and that's when oftentimes he's pushed to make these decisions that dig him deeper into this evil spiral. You can kind of see him turn. I mean, I definitely saw it right before he did that march. I watched it across the screen. In his eyes, he turned into Heisenberg right in front of us, and the humanity was gone, and then it was back right after he saw Mike.
I've always said that this is not, I don't know. I just don't feel like it's this evil guy that's the devil. I feel like it's just a guy that's just had enough. He's just had enough in life. He feels like he's gotten the short end of the stick, whether he has or he hasn't. And he's just snapping. And then, you know, when Mike has pushed his buttons all along, he's been the only one who hasn't backed down at Walt, doesn't buy into him. And
because
he just snapped. Just snapped and was like, F you. You're not going to thank me. You're going to just take money out of my hand. Like, F this.
Yeah.
I'm Heisenberg. Bang, you know.
Yeah.
And of course.
And then freaks a little bit.
Freaks. And then what was really interesting is as Mike's dying, no, I didn't have to kill you. I could have gone to Lydia.
That speaks to him.
Another layer.
But that speaks to him really not having any kind of humanity left. Because he doesn't, I mean, the guy's dying right there. And he's
no,
like,
he went right into the focus.
Yeah, he went, wow, I could have got the names from Lydia.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, can you just shut up?
Yeah, what great line, can you please?
Just so I can die in
and
after all this.
And we got to give, you know, Mike so many props for even what he said to him. We had a good thing going. Remember he said that two seasons ago. We got a good thing going, Walt.
Hey, but he said the things that would push his buttons. You didn't know your place. You didn't know your job.
Right. And then that was that.
Yeah.
And that's taking the money. And then that's, of course, what was going to get him killed.
You wanted to be the man. All that stuff.
I could have gone to Lydia. I just think it was... And just for Mike, you could see, like, such a great actor that on his face, he was like, this guy is so audacious.
Yeah.
You know, can you just let me die in peace?
Yeah, even now. Just give me the 2 minutes. Would you shut up? Here we go.
Moment.
We're watching the particular scene where he just grabs the bag away from Walt, for those of you who are listening.
I mean, anyone, you know, is an actor out there, a fan of acting. You just watched Cranston, you know, doing so many different things with his face. And think of the range of emotions he captures in this one scene. We see everything.
Yeah.
We see...
He's just great in everything he does.
Well, and that's also Jonathan Banks, how little he does in a lot of his scenes, and it's all there.
Yeah.
He's not overdoing anything. He's underdoing. So, all right. Well, as we watch this
I could watch Get Lost in that scene over and
but
over
again. When Walt said the thing about I could have got the names from Lydia, I was just like the air almost left me.
He went right back to that insane focus.
Because I thought for a second he was going to say something to him. Like, I thought he was going to apologize to Mike. Like, what did I do? I thought that would have... That's where I thought he was going to go.
He did say, I'm sorry, and I didn't have to kill you. Didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if he said I'm sorry, but if he did. That's not what he was sorry.
Right.
He was...
I don't know.
It was just all the emotions that came up. I mean, at first I think he was, and then it was, well,
here's everything I'm feeling.
You know, also, I wanted, you know... Beside the fact...
But I think he's, you know, some part of him wanted to kill him.
Yes, well, that's the rage because he's been bitched out by him, and he's been bitched out by. And you, when you see that march up to him with the gun, he marches like a little baby.
Yes,
It's just Cranston, such a great actor, and now
the look on his face. See that look of panic. I thought was
when he drives away.
Yeah, like oh my god, didn't work. Now what? What do I do? What do I do?
And so you go to handheld. Is you know, as a cinematographer, which always shows like the panic and chaos. He's looking around. It's just very interesting.
And when he gets up to the car, of course, Mike is gone, which is his worst night because you don't want a wounded animal out there.
No.
Especially a guy that knows what he's doing as much as Mike does. That's danger.
And by the way, we were all sad because we all loved him.
Yeah, first of all, I think he's a great actor. I love seeing him on the show. I loved his character. I always loved the fact that they were in such conflict that made great drama. And now I'm pissed that he's
dead.
You
know, he gave Jesse the advice, too.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I mean,
finally,
look out for everybody.
And he but even on this episode, he
was always right and never delusional about what was going on. I don't think he was.
You know.
But we were wrong. But most of us, we were wrong. We thought he was going to die at Lydia's hand.
Right.
So.
I mean, what happened to Lydia?
I certainly won't.
Oh, Lydia next week.
Well, they get back into it.
Don't worry.
She's coming back.
Yeah. No, yeah, she's going to give us a lot.
How great was this the way he was.
It's hard for us, you guys, for you listeners. We actually have the episode on the replay in the background, and it's just hard not to get sucked in.
Yeah, so
I just hope we're not wrong, John.
What's that?
I hope that Lydia doesn't help Walt end up being helpful to him, because we're the ones that we're advocating killing her, getting over with. I hope she's not beneficial.
Maria thought she was going to be beneficial. So
well, she will be to some degree. I just think she's. I always said she's a loose cannon. I don't think she's. She may help him in some regard, but you pay a price for that because she's a loose cannon.
I think ultimately though, Walt is the danger.
Yeah.
I think, like, okay, so Todd might be bad. And
well, yeah, part of the reason why he's a danger is because he's so delusional. He thinks he's going to get out of this
but
clean.
But my point is, everyone's worried about Todd and Lydia and this new group he's working with. Yeah. They all need to be worried about Walt.
Well, yeah.
Walt
That's
is,
why I wouldn't work with him.
But I think the look on Jesse and Scott's face, they know that they're in danger.
That is amazing.
We're looking at the two-shot, the reversal of the two ball guys.
It almost looks like a father and a son.
Yep.
Walt and
Mike. But
it's just incredible. Please let me die in peace.
And it's sunset, and the sun's going down.
Oh, and as that ends, let's move on to our
catches of the week.
We're doing our catches of the week. So
for Mike August, the death of the kid really changed Mike, and it did appear that he was going to cry while sitting in the park with his granddaughter. So I see him as a hardened criminal who's been softened. Needs to keep the danger away from her. So I don't know if he's a hardened criminal because he was an ex-cop. And remember, he told his that one story about how justice-minded he was.
Well, I think he's hardened and he's a criminal. I don't know. The hardened criminal thing means he's been a criminal forever. So
Why am I so deluded? I don't see him as a criminal. I just
it's kind of hard not to be when you're doing what he does.
I don't see him that way.
But I don't.
You don't see him as a criminal?
No. Logically speaking, my brain knows he's committing crimes. I just don't see him as a criminal.
Yeah, on the show, I don't see a lot of these people as criminals, but, I mean, then you have to remember they cook meth for a living.
Yeah.
That's illegal.
And
they're just smarter.
And they've killed people.
Than most
and
of those.
And they've killed people. That's a crime.
They did do that.
Yeah.
Is another
easy. So that's easy for you guys to overlook.
No, it's not easy to overlook. We just forget.
No, the old rule is, it's like if they're in that, they all know the life they chose.
Right.
So it's different when you kill a civilian or a neighbor or whatever. So are we getting cut off?
Yeah, we're getting. So we got to move on. So finish up real quick.
Mike knows he's going to get caught eventually. After being on the law enforcement side for such a long time, he nodded while listening to Hank on the wire say something like, "We're going to get Mike."
Yeah, because.
Further established that he's a cop when he patted down Wolf weapons. Okay. The trend of the threes continues. Mike says, "I'm going to count to three." And, you know, we know about the Holy Trinity and the completeness of it all. And we see how many three shots we see throughout this. But now they're going to two shots, which
of course,
is
very
interesting.
And they doubled up.
The double down. Of mild interest was the TV show Walt and Jesse were watching. It pertained to making simulated caviar from kelp to maintain quality but lower price. Perhaps this is a hint. Walt is going to use inferior ingredients and give Declan an imitation blue meth, potentially even a meth that kills his customers and ruins his base's drug pin. As we know, Walt will want to wipe out his competition being in the Empire business. Last but not least, there is one of our fans, AJ Henley, has sent this really long email. I'm going to just try to be brief about it, but it speaks to like the journey of Walt and how human he is and what he's gone through and how understandable it is. He says, "I want to weigh in on all the Walter White hate. Let's keep in mind that although we have experienced the transformation of Walter White over the last 5 years, he has experienced it. What he's experienced has just been over a year. A year ago, Walter was an underachieving brainiac, not really respected at home. Skylar was not a good wife. Not saying she was bad, but she was indifferent, passive-aggressive, sexually distant, and controlling. And Junior clearly idolized Hank far more than his dad. Not respected at work, you can see he loves his subject, but his students do not. And he walks around with the looming failure of his career because what happened to the company he helped start and how he was pushed out. And he clearly feels powerless because he could have tried to make another path for himself, teach at a community college until he finished his PhD, go to work for another company. He is one hell of an industrial chemist, after all. Or start a new company. But he does none of that. Instead, he stews in his own private failure soup and basically straps in waiting to die. Cancer comes as a wake-up call to Walt. And while many of us might not have made his choice to cook meth, once he did choose that, everything else kind of logically followed. Cook meth, gotta sell it. Buyers try to kill them, gotta defend ourselves. Not all are dead. Lock the survivor up to stay safe. Survivor tries to kill you. Kill him instead. Still need money. Sell meth. Not making enough to take care of family. Gotta sell more. Tuco robs Jesse. Another case of someone stealing his brilliance. Uses chemistry and balls to take it back. We are now at about 2 months into the Breaking Bad timeline, and all of a sudden, Walt is a bit of a badass. He feels alive. He feels powerful. People respect him. And most importantly, he respects himself. Everything from there to where we are now is just as inevitable as the beginning part if you add in the part of a powerless man feeling power, finally feeling powerful. Mm. It's easy to say he's just letting his ego get the best of him. However, it is clear to me that old Walter White hated himself and the new Walter White wouldn't even speak to the old Walter White. What many viewers are seeing as ego fulfillment, I think Walter White sees as pure self-preservation. Don't forget, he first started getting into it with Gus because he refused to let Jesse go. It became a pissing match later, and I always bring that up. This Mr. Chips to Scarface transformation is almost a view of what could happen to almost anyone given the proper starting conditions. And as for Skylar, I wonder if we aren't witnessing her own Mrs. Chips to Mrs. Soprano transformation. Maybe a lot is sparked by her current powerlessness with Walt, but she enjoyed becoming the money woman. She enjoyed strong-arming the car wash owner. She even enjoyed, I believe, dealing with Beneke before it went wrong. It is possible that she comes out of this, not Walt's nemesis, but his true partner, whether through Stockholm Syndrome or her own transformation of powerless, only time can tell. I just thought that was a great email. Thank you once again to AJ Henley. Mm-hmm. But I concur.
All right, last thoughts. Anything, or predictions, I guess. We have to let me get out of here.
All of Mike's guys are going to die at the hands of Lydia and Walt.
Yeah, Lydia and Walt come together.
And
by the way, we know Jesse wants back in. Because we know Walt, for whatever reason, Walt says, nope, yep, you're out.
Yeah, he wants back in because I think he's worried about the nine. Right. I think that's what they were hinting at. Oh, so
He wants to save them.
Any prediction, Ben?
Everyone dies. And it's all a dream.
All right.
Oh.
Excellent. All right, that's our music. We went long today. Thank you very much for sticking with us.
Thank you.
All right, on behalf of Ben Bottomley, Kristen Snyder, Kevin Undergaro, I'm John Comerford saying thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.